The scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And it reads, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving."
Good evening. Hope everybody is doing well tonight. Hopefully my voice will stay with me. We did a lot of caroling this afternoon. I'd like to thank each of you that went. We had as many as, I think, 40, because we had different people float in and out from different ones of the venues that, well, I guess venues, we weren't exactly performing that well. I don't think we were exactly at concert halls. But the different nursing homes, the different assisted livings that we went to, we had some different people join us and then had to go their different ways. But I appreciate all those that went. It's always a great opportunity to get together with one another, because it does encourage us to hang out with one another, to build one another up, to edify one another. And that's what Christianity is about, not only to build one another up, but to reach out to others. And many people, when we go out, they ask, "Where are you from? What church are you from?" And we have opportunity to say, "We're from Avondale Church of Christ. This is where it's at." Planting seeds. So it is an evangelistic opportunity besides going and singing the songs. And just want to invite those of you who may not have been able to come today. We do this quarterly. So January, March, April, July, October, and then we'll go again in the holidays. And the way the years go, that'll be sooner than later, how quickly these years go by. But I'd encourage you guys to come with us in that evangelistic opportunity, and an opportunity just to build one another up. Tonight I'd like to talk about, as was seen there in the book of Colossians in the verse that Nathan read to us, the idea of being rooted. The idea of being rooted. He says that we are rooted, that we're built up, and we need to make sure that we're built up in the faith. That we are built up in Christ. That we are built up in His Word. As I've started teaching the middle school and high school class this quarter, the foundation of the class is the idea of being just that, being rooted. Many of us have read, and it's been going on for many, many years, the idea that when young people begin to get a little bit older and a little bit older, and they get ready to go off to college, or even when they're already off in college, they sometimes fall away. They drift away. They're not fully grounded. They're not fully rooted. You can read certain articles that will tell you 59% drift away. I've read some numbers as high as 75%. I really hope that the percentage is not that high. But of people, young people, that are floating away for many different reasons, even though they've been brought up in the church, I want to make sure that we, as a church here at Avondale, and that we individually for ourselves, whether young or old, that we have a firm faith. That we have a firm, deep-rooted faith. Not that we have a fringe faith. Not that we have a flimsy, fragile faith, but a firm faith. One that we can be confident that we can build upon. One that we can be confident when the storms of life come our way, we will be able to maintain our focus, maintain our faith, and maintain our example to the world around us. Because we should be asked, why are you different? People should recognize in us that we are different. When those things come along that might typically sway other people in the world, we should be more firm. When we might be faced with those challenges that might knock others down, we should be firm. Because our hope is different. And they hopefully will ask us about that hope. I'm not a big gardener, but I do know enough about roots to understand what they do for a plant. Roots are designed by God for plants to, number one, help them absorb and take in water and nutrients. That's important for us as Christians as well. We need to have our roots in the Word, our roots in the family, at the congregation you worship at, so that you can be taking in that water, taking in that spiritual nutrients. And we're all very, very familiar with passages like in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the woman at the well and says, "I have a water that if you drink, you'll never thirst again." We need to take that water in and keep it in our roots. He tells The multitude in John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I have a bread of life, one that you can eat of and you'll never hunger again. We need that nutrients. As our roots grow deeper, as we grow stronger, we should no longer be feeding on milk, but we should be feeding on meat. We should see that maturation process going on in our spiritual lives so that we're growing up just like a physical plant. But not only do the roots hold that water in and take in that water and those nutrients, but likewise, they're an anchor. They're an anchor. We've seen a lot of storms, even in recent weeks and months, and you see the trees, and they're going side to side, and there are times they will break. A lot of times what you'll see, they don't necessarily come up from the roots. It does happen. But a lot of times they snap off, but the roots are pretty solid. It's amazing the anchoring system that God designed with the roots of a plant. We too need to make sure, as we just read there in Colossians, that we are rooted in Christ. That we are rooted and firm in our faith. Not a fragile faith that when the winds of change, when the winds of the world come and blow on us, will easily fall over. But we need to be fully rooted and we need to be anchored. Number three, they're also supposed to, roots are, store. They're supposed to store that water, store that nutrients. Life sometimes, man, you're cruising along, everything's growing great, things aren't really causing you any troubles, and that's when it's easy. But then when the storms do come, then when the tough times do come, and I've heard Eric say it many times from this pulpit, it's not if life will happen, it's when. All of us, and I can look out here in the audience and see many people are going through things now, have gone through things recently, and they're maybe picking up the pieces. But it's going to happen. But when those things come, if you are fully anchored, if you've taken in the Word of God, the water and the bread, you've stored it away, then you're prepared when those times come. Not to say you can't go searching the Scriptures then, but if you've done it before, you're more prepared. You're ready for those times so that those things don't cause you to drift. In the book of James, at the very beginning, James chapter 1, if you'll turn over there with me, I know it's a passage you're very, very familiar with, but the idea of that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. And again, that seems strange and counterintuitive to what the world might teach us, but it's exactly what this practical book of James teaches us. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. It's going to come along. The world's going to try to toss us. But when those trials come, have we stored away the water of God's Word? Have we stored away the nutrients, the bread of life of God's Word? David did. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11, David says, I've hidden away your word in my heart so that I'll sin not against thee. David made mistakes, but when he faced those times, eventually he gets through them and it hurts him because he knows that he's gone contrary to what God wanted, and he asks very, very penitently for that forgiveness because he recognizes that he's disappointed God. Roots are so, so important to establish. The fourth thing that roots do for a plant is they help the plant to reproduce. We as Christians are told that we're not only supposed to get people baptized, but we're supposed to go and make disciples of them. We're supposed to then grow those Christians. We're supposed to see those Christians on to maturation, to finish the race, to fight the good fight. We need to make sure that we are reproducing Christians. Like Greg was saying this morning, the idea of imitate me. Are you something that someone wants to reproduce in the sense of the way that you live? In the sense of the way that you walk? Are you something that you would like to be reproduced? Because if we're walking in the steps of Christ, others should be able to follow in our steps and model those things that we are doing. I have roots that run pretty deep here at Avondale. And I talk to people from time to time, and they'll ask, you know, where are you going to church at Avondale still? In fact, we ran into somebody at lunch today, a girl that went here, and we're the exact same age. And I remember when she went here, and she still lives here in Decatur. And I said, yeah, we're coming from worship at Avondale. She said, you still go to Avondale? Yeah, I still go to Avondale. Well, where do you live? Well, I live in Loganville. What's that? Loganville? And you go to yeah, the roots are deep. Been here since 1978, and those roots are very, very deep. And it's interesting when you talk to people. If I told somebody that I live in Loganville and I work in Atlanta, they wouldn't bat an eye. Drive 35, 45 minutes, stop and go traffic, 5 days a week to work, wouldn't bat an eye. But for some reason, I go to Avondale, you go all the way up there to worship. Yes, because roots run deep. This is a good place. I've made a foundation here. I know the foundation under this congregation that is strong and deeply rooted in the water, in the nutrients, the bread of life that God's Word teaches. And that's the foundation I'm rooted in. Hard to uproot those. And it's the same thing when you put your roots down into God's Word, not only in a congregation, but more importantly, individually. How deep are your roots? Do you have a firm faith? Or is your faith flimsy, fragile, a fringe faith? That's what's scary about our young people. Their faith may be a branch of you in a way, but when they go off, how firm are their roots? We try starting down here in Pew Packers. These little guys down here know God created them. And we'll sing the hippo song and we'll say, what's the difference between you and a hippo? And they'll say, we have a soul. We're created in God's image. We're trying to get that through to them. They know that God has three omnis about Him. He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, and He's omnipresent. Trying to teach those things. But then it's got to go deeper. They have to start learning and understanding those things for themselves, not just that we're teaching it and drilling into their minds, because Christianity is then a lifestyle. You've got to walk in it. And we've got to make sure that we as the adults are walking in it so that they can again model those things. As you go through Scripture, there are several examples of young people who made it through. Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, we see him approached, and he's in a tough situation. An older woman, the woman of the house, somebody with influence, and says, lie with me. And he says, no. He doesn't just say, no, I don't want to lie with you. It might have been tempting to him. I don't know. But he said, how could I do this sin against God? How could I do this to God? He had his roots deep. He had his roots focused on God and deeply rooted in God. And man, could he have been fragile and had that flimsy fringe faith to know that he had been sold into slavery, his brothers wanted to kill him, and everything that had happened to him, but he stayed firm. Joshua. That was talked about a little bit this morning when Greg was speaking. And Joshua and Caleb, the only two, 10 other spies saying, we can't do it. We look like grasshoppers in the eyes of these giants. It would have been easy to say, yeah, we'll decide with them. We don't want to disagree. But they were firmly rooted, and they said, we can do this. Turn over to the book of Numbers. Numbers 13, I want to look at a couple passages to show how deeply rooted Joshua and Caleb were. Numbers 13, and we'll begin in verse number 25. How easy we can be swayed when we're not in the majority. And man, is it all about the majority these days. Whether it's our politics or whether it's just the things that are going on at our workplace or going on at school, we want to be in the majority. It's a lot easier. Just go along and get along because that's what everybody else is doing. I don't know if I've ever told this story from the pulpit or not, but when I was in the 10th grade, we would have pep rallies at school during the day on certain days. We don't do that as much anymore, at least at our school where I teach, because we're such a big school. Getting everybody in the gym is just, it's a monumental task. So we don't do that anymore, but back then we would do this. So the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade would already be in the gym. And the senior class, they got to come in by themselves, music playing, girls up on guys' shoulders. They would dress up because they were the seniors. And here they come, and you've seen these kind of things, whether it's a sporting event or not. People will turn their backs to them like, we don't care. Y'all aren't hold up newspapers like, we're ignoring you. We don't think anything about you. Well, our class decided, the whole 10th grade class, they're going to throw stuff at them. They were throwing dimes and pennies and nickels at the seniors when they came in. Well, that could be dangerous. I didn't throw anything, I promise. I would have hit some people if I did, I guarantee. Got a good arm. But I didn't throw anything. But our whole class was removed. Susan, do you remember this? I'm just thinking, Susan's a little older, yeah, than me. Would have been a year older than me. She would have been a junior. But our entire 10th grade class gets taken out of the gym, and we get taken to the theater. Well, what are they going to do to an entire class, 500, 600 kids? You're going to give them all detention? You're going to suspend them all from school? What are you going to do to that entire class? So we're in there and we're wondering, I'm sure, now being a teacher and know what administration, I'm sure administration was going, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? What can we do with this kind of number of people? Well, everybody wants to see what happened. This is kind of cool. We got pulled out of the gym. Well, here they come and they say, it's time to go to driver's ed. And driver's ed wasn't on campus. You got on a bus and you went over somewhere near North Lake and over that area to go to driver's ed to this facility. Nobody gets up. I'm supposed to go to driver's ed. And they just said, anybody who goes to driver's ed, get on the bus. Whole group of people, my whole class. Eventually, I'm like, they said, you're supposed to go to driver's ed. Well, guess what Jed does? Get up, and there I go. I ride on a school bus all by myself, except for the school bus driver, over to driver's ed. Instead of the 30 or however many of us normally went, I'm all by my lonesome, and I go over there. And I get 100 that day. They're like, I'm going to give you 100 just for showing up. That's good of you, you know, to show up. But it wasn't easy necessarily, and I may have looked like a dork, and I may have been, you know, laughed at or made fun of. I don't really know, but I stood up and went because it was what I was supposed to do. Would have been easy like the 99% that did stay, well, to sit and to go with what the numbers did in that majority. So in Numbers chapter 13, Joshua, beginning in verse number 25, it reads, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed, and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them that all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak and there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And then Caleb quieted the people. You can imagine the uproar when they're starting to hear all these things. Caleb quieted the people and he said, let us go. Let us go up at once. Let us take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But talk to my students all the time. That's a little word, that three little word, but all of a sudden you're going to wonder, but, and it turns the direction completely. The majority speaks up, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the whole people. For they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and they came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Caleb and Joshua had roots that were very firm, a very firm faith in God that he was going to make come to pass what he had promised. And he did. And we've got an entire book, the Bible, that we can see time and again, God's not going to fail us when he makes promises. We need to make sure that we're firmly rooted, that we have a firm faith, not one that's fragile, not one that's flimsy, and not one that's a fringe faith. How about Elijah? I love this story when Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel. And he's got 850 prophets of Baal, prophets of Asherah. And he gets up there, and he's again outnumbered. How easy it would have been to have cowered and to have been afraid. But he challenges them. And y'all know the scene. He gets up there and he says, you build an altar, I'll build an altar. You get a bull, I'll get a bull. You prepare yours, I'll prepare mine. And I love it. I get the sense they start at like 9 in the morning. It gets to be noon, nothing. They're calling. they start jumping around. You can just imagine the scene. They're getting excited because and a little anxious because their God is not responding. And I don't know if exactly godly on the part of Elijah, but he starts to mock them, starts to laugh at them. And he starts to say, where's your God? Maybe he went on a journey and he's just not back yet. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe you're not yelling loud enough. He can't hear you. But we know how it ends. It gets late in the evening. Nothing. Then it's Elijah's turn. He said, let's make this a little more exciting. Dig a trench around the altar. Pour water on the wood. Pour water on the sacrifice. Let it run off. They do it once. They do it twice. They do it three times. I believe they do it a fourth time. And then water runs and it fills the trench. And then God sends down fire to burn that sacrifice. Licks up all the water. Wow, what a firm faith Elijah had. To stand up to 850 prophets who said, our God. He said, no, my God, the God, the one that reigns in heaven, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. That God is the one that you can have a firm faith in. How deeply rooted was Elijah? We've already talked about David's roots. How about Daniel? Daniel in chapter 6 of Daniel, you'll turn over there with me. Daniel chapter 6. He's got some friends. And of course, we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let's talk about them first, just chronologically. Daniel chapter 3. They have opportunity to do what they're asked to do. They're being told, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Love their response. Love their response here in Daniel chapter 3. Down here, beginning in verse number 16. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Guys, that alone. Could you imagine going to a king and saying, I don't have any reason to give you an answer. I have nothing to say to you. That's confidence. That's faith. A firm faith. Not one that's fragile, not one that's weak, not one that's wavering, but a firm faith. They said, we don't have any reason to answer you. Continuing. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But look at their faith goes even further than that. But if he doesn't? But if he doesn't? What's their faith? No. We're going to be fine. But if not, we will let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They knew. That's how we need to live our lives, that firm. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We sing songs like that. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We read verses about that. Life is but a vapor. But I do know this. God's in heaven. God sent his son Jesus. We just sang deep and wide. It's a fountain free for everyone that wants to accept that, who wants to come in contact with Jesus' blood through baptism, and then we can have a hope, a different hope, a heavenly citizenship. As Greg made very clear, this world is not our home. And we sing a song there, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up. And again, we're neither moth nor rust, and where thieves cannot steal. That's where our focus needs to be. And that's where their focus was. That's where their faith was. They were so rooted, though they were young men in a foreign land, though they were looking at a king and he said, I don't got to give you an answer. And our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, I'm still not disobeying God. Wow, what a strong, firm faith. Not a flimsy, fragile, fringe faith, but a firm, established faith. And then Daniel himself. Daniel chapter 6. They want to get him. The men there, they want to get him because they're jealous of Daniel. He's risen in power in the kingdom. They're jealous. They trap him. And they get the king to sign and to even, you know, put the signet ring on this decree to get Daniel. Doesn't stop Daniel. He knows. He still goes and prays. Window open. What's the window open indicate? Watch me if you want. I'm not hiding. I'm not ashamed. You can watch me, and I'm still going to do what God expects me to do. Not once a day, not twice, but three times a day, I'm going to pray to my God. And he does. And he's thrown into that lion's den. And what a respect he had received from King Darius. Or is it Darius? How do you say it? Y'all probably like Darius, right? But whatever it is, what a respect that he can't sleep all night because he knows he messed up. He knows Daniel's a good man. He knows that the God of Daniel... But he was even tricked. He allowed, again, those pressures. He wasn't firmly rooted in what he wanted to do. He allowed somebody else to sway him. We need to be deeply rooted. I'm teaching that over here to the middle school and high schoolers. And I guess maybe it's because my daughter's a senior. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about it so much. But again, we don't want them to go off. And guys, even if you're not a Christian here tonight and you're an adult, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and you're not a baptized member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the Bible, once you become a Christian, we want you to get rooted. Because even if you're a young Christian, even though you may be further along in your physical years, you've got to get rooted, or again, this world is going to knock you down. They are striving so hard out there to knock us down. They're trying to separate us. They're trying to break us down as Christians. But guys, the church is always going to stand. The foundation is too firm. Again, we sing a song down here, build your house upon the rock. All the way, all the things we're talking about in the Old Testament, there's always a remnant. Guys, we're the spiritual Israel. We're the remnant that will be here forever until the Lord comes. Do not allow your faith to waver. Make sure that it's firm. Matthew chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. Very familiar parable. The parable of the sower. And we've used this kind of as a foundation as we've started this quarter with the middle schoolers and high schoolers to look at the different soils. Because obviously when you're planting a seed that you want to take root, it depends on the kind of soil. Tonight, I hope that we have the fourth kind of soil that you can read about here in the parable in Matthew chapter 13. And that soil is the good ground, verse number 8. It says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. There's that reproduction. There's that reproduction that we want to see. Because once you become a Christian, you hope your children become Christian, and then their children become, and on, it's a legacy that you hope can be established through you. But then, unfortunately, there are the other soils. He sowed some seed and they fell by the wayside. Verse number 4. And the birds came and devoured them, never even able to take root. Never able to take root at all. And then you have those that were sown. In verse number 5, and they fell on the stony places. Hard. Hard ground where root could not be deep enough. And that's exactly what it says as you get to the end. They sprang up immediately, but they had no depth in the earth. We talked earlier, the roots are where we get the water. It's where you get the nutrients. It's where you get that anchoring that you need. It's where you get the storage of the nutrients. And where hopefully after you're a well-established plant, you can then reproduce. There was too hard a soil. Don't let that be your heart if you're here tonight. Don't let you be one either that the seed doesn't even sink in at all. Listen, 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 and allow your heart to be that good soil. And then there is, in verse number 7, that thorny soil. Has some depth, but then you allow yourself to get caught up again in those sinful things of the world that choke you out. Don't let that be you. So many places in Scripture, from the book of Colossians where we started tonight, the idea of being deeply rooted in Christ. Here with the parable of the sower. And then another beautiful, beautiful example. If we turn over to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Another example here, again, just an agricultural kind of botany example. The idea of roots and the idea of establishing your roots and being safe and being able to be nourished. Jeremiah chapter 17. And beginning in verse number 5, it reads, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. That's what we're finding a lot of people doing these days, isn't it? What are men telling us? What are men writing? What are men saying on the internet? What are men saying from the news outlets? What are men saying? What are men saying from other pulpits that may not be teaching the Word of God? And what are men saying? Cursed is the man who trusts in man. This is the Lord speaking. And makes flesh his strength. Whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Now again, I'm not some great, you know, gardener or never been a farmer, but I do know the desert, not a real good place to be a plant. There are ones that God has designed. There are animals, but you don't want to be this shrub in the desert, and it shall not see when good comes, but it shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's if you trust in men. That's if you trust in the world. That's if you trust in yourself. But verse number 7 gives us the antithesis of that. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. Will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why aren't you going to be scared in a drought? I've absorbed what I needed. I've got the nutrients. I've got well spread out roots, it says. And what do roots do? They store. They store those things. Like it said in Psalm 119:11, I'm hiding those things away in my heart. We're told to meditate on things. We're told to meditate by Paul multiple times. Meditate on the good things. I remember Jonathan Jenkins saying that meditate, and he looked up the word and he shared with us. He said it was like a cow chewing on its cud. It's kind of a gross image in a way because you know what that means. But you chew on it, you swallow it, you digest it, you take what you need from it, then you regurgitate it. Isn't that a beautiful image? And you chew on it some more. And you chew on it some more. You get every bit of nutrients you can out of it. God's Word, we're told to meditate on it day and night. And finally, let's close with Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. The image is there mentioned in Jeremiah, as we just read, but Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he chews on his cud day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season and whose leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. There's that idea too of that reproduction. It's going to prosper. There's going to be fruit. And fruit, of course, has what inside of it? A seed. And that's going to go on and on. It's going to procreate beyond there. Therefore, the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a Malayan proverb that I read recently and kind of preparing for this and just thinking through a lot of things with class. And it says, though a tree grows so high, the falling leaves return to the root. And that's what's so beautiful too. When you start studying science and nature and what God has put here, it's amazing. The tree will fall, the leaves and the fruits and things from it, if they don't go off in other places, they'll break down. And they'll turn around and be what for the plant? Nutrients. What a design. I've read too in studying for this class and preparing. Man, there's such a world going on underground with the roots. There are nematodes, and there are beetles, and there's bacteria, and there's fungus, and there's all kinds of cool stuff that all just happened. Yeah, right. Didn't just happen. What a design. And when you watch and think about everything that's going on and some of the bacteria, it's amazing if you want to go and read and study. And again, all designed by God. And when you start thinking about it, and again, you can carry out metaphors forever. And that's what becomes an extended metaphor, but I always got to throw a little English in there for you. And it's an extended metaphor. Think about everything it takes for you. It's not just one or two things that make your roots grow deep. It's not that it's just going to happen, but there's a lot of intricacies that are going on to make that happen. Maybe it was where you're raised. Maybe it's how you study yourself. Maybe it's how often you show up here. Maybe it's how often you participate in other things. But every time you do that, your roots are going to get a little bit deeper the more you do different things. Hear a lot this time of year. Acts 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that is so true. Guys, going out and doing what we did today, I was built up. My roots got a little deeper today. Hanging out with some of you guys and going and seeing smiles on the faces of some people that we sang with, my roots got deeper. Being here and worshiping, roots got deeper. Being here this morning, roots got deeper. Being in Bible class, roots got deeper. Those of you that are taking food to people and calling people and sending cards, your roots are getting deeper. And guess what's happening to them? Their roots are getting deeper. Why? Because you're serving. Why? Because you're giving them nutrients when they're not as strong as they might be normally. You're building them up. And we could go on and on because it's a beautiful the way God's word, because that takes us to Romans chapter 12 and thinking of others and preferring others. Galatians 6, carrying the burdens of those. We can go on and on, and it's beautiful how it all just continues to feed. You're feeding me, I'm feeding you. We're all growing deeper and deeper. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So my question for you tonight, how deep are your roots? How firm is your faith? And young people, how firm is your faith? Some of you get here, if you're not 16 years old, guess how you got here? Mom and dad brought you. And you think about that all the way from really cradle roll all the way up until they get down here. And I know where I live, I'm not even letting my kids drive up here by themselves. A long way. And they're just young drivers. But I'll tell you this. You're bringing them. But are their roots getting deeper? Or are they just coming along because you're pulling them along? Because eventually, they're going to leave. How deep are their roots? How deep are your roots? Tonight, we want to make sure that we have a firm faith. Not a fragile, fringe, flimsy faith. But one that's deeply rooted in the Word of God. One that is like the man who's planted like a tree by the waters. Who will grow, who will pull in the water and the nutrients it needs, who will be firmly anchored, who will be able to then hold on to God's Word no matter what comes. And even if it's easy today, tomorrow's not going to be easy. But you've got it stored away. And then finally, are you reproducing? What's the fruit look like? Are people able to, like Greg said this morning, imitate me, Paul says, as I imitate Christ? Is your life at that point? Are you faithfully rooted enough to be there? Some of you may not even be Christians, so maybe that seed has not even really started to grow. But tonight you have that opportunity. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, but isn't it beautiful that the way we become a Christian is through water? And water is such a huge part of what life is. But to become a Christian, you have to hear the Word. You've got to hear the gospel, and that is that Jesus came, He lived, and He died. And through His death, you can have life. Because He was resurrected that third day to show that death does not overcome God, but God overcame death. And that promise is for you too, that you too will live eternally, that spiritual part of you. And it'll live in one of two places, and Greg alluded to those this morning. So you know what the gospel is, but the question is, will you believe it? Will you believe that a man named Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and died for you and for me? And then if you do believe that, will you repent? Change your ways. Become more fully rooted in Christ as we started out tonight. And to be built up and rooted in Christ. And will you confess His name because you want to be rooted in Him? You'll be buried in Him. You'll come up a new man, one that now will be rooted in Christ. Will you confess His name that you truly believe He is the Son of God? And then go down into the watery grave of baptism. To come up a new creature, a new man, a new walk. And again, let yourself start growing and be rooted in Christ. It might be that you are a Christian, but you've allowed your roots to become a little shallow. You've allowed yourself to be swayed by the ways of the world. Some type of sin has come in, and maybe it's choked you out a little bit. You have opportunity to come back because God wants you back. And that's, again, a beautiful blessing. So if you're in either of those situations tonight, we ask that you come while we stand and as we sing for your encouragement.